Hey there, welcome to Curtis the Word. I'm your host, Britt, and fun fact about me, I love cheese. I love cheese so much, I let it completely change my life, and I've never looked back. And chances are, if you found this podcast, you like cheese too. Each week, I'll take you on a cheese-filled journey where we taste it, learn about who makes it, super cool spots to buy it, and more. So whether you're looking for a new cheese to fall in love with or just trying to figure out the fancy words in the deli case, come hang out with me and let's have a good time. Hi friends, and welcome back to another episode of Curt is the Word. I'm your host, Brittany, and today's episode is going to be same, same, but different because we are having an episode that is totally dedicated to vegan cheese products. Other terms for this are known as vegan cheese, dairy-free cheese, plant-based cheese, or cheese alternatives, and they are in our market. It's definitely a more hotly debated topic, but at the end of the day, in my opinion, if you like something and you believe in a cause, there's no reason you shouldn't have good food. So I am here to just kind of come in. I've certainly eaten my fair share of dairy-free cheese, and it's really come such a long way. Actually, rewind back to college where it was sophomore year, I was looking to lose that freshman 15 to 20 I had just gained, and I picked up a book called Skinny Bitch by Rory Freeman and Kim Barnwin. And, you know, classic, you see the cover of the book, it's like a cartoon character of a thin woman, and obviously this is what I wanted to be. So this book is really all about just pretty poor practices in our meat and dairy industries and what these larger commercial facilities are doing and how to turn you off from meat and dairy. And while the benefits are outstanding, you know, your hair is shiny, your skin looks great, and obviously you're going to shed a couple of pounds once you completely convert to plant-based eating. And while we're in our mid-30s now, it's not a bad idea to convert to plant-based here and there. It's certainly good for your heart. It's certainly good for your brain health. So I follow this diet and I become a vegan for a little bit. And for me, I don't know, I just really like good food. I remember I went to this restaurant in Syracuse and that was kind of it for me. And then I picked up veganism again, probably around like early 20s, just kind of trying it out again, looking for a boyfriend probably, and how to be my best self, have great skin, not worry about really what I'm eating per se. And I was a vegetarian, that became a vegan, I bounced back to vegetarian. So I feel pretty familiar with what's been going on. I definitely still don't really drink dairy milk that often. So I think it's important, like I said, if you believe in something, there is no reason anyone should shame you for calling your food whatever you want. So today's episode is dedicated to all of my plant-based vegan friends who want to know more about vegan food events and some really great vegan cheeses that are going to be on tap. And before I get started, I do want to plug one quick thing. I am now wholesaling from Bandit, which used to be called Conscious Cultures. They are a fantastic cheese alternative brand. They have this pimento log that I swear on a piece of sourdough toast. This is like one of my favorite things to eat in the morning. Even now, when I have access to other things, I still come back to this pimento log. And yes, while I realize in my adult age that this made me vegan for not the right reasons, I have that experience, so I'm just going to roll with it and let's take it from there. So what I like to do in my regular podcast episodes is dive into a world of events where you can go and join like-minded people. So for today's episode, I found a slew of very cool vegan food events. First up, in Northern Hollywood, California, every Sunday from 11 to 5, there is the Vegan Exchange, which is a kind of like a pop-up market. It features vegan food, vegan beverages, different lifestyle brands, artisan goods, and pay attention to their Instagram if it gets canceled due to rain or whatnot. But I would start here. This seems like a very awesome community, a place to meet new people who have, you know, similar morals and ideals as you. You can also recommend different vendors to apply here. It seems they're just looking to constantly keep growing. And this looks like, I mean, I'm looking at the pictures right now, and vegan or not, this looks like a lot of fun. Across the pond in the UK, there is something called VegFest. And actually, they just launched their crowdfunding campaign for upcoming VegFest events and just started on March 29th, going to be running to the end of April. And you can help donate to some of their events, which are located in both Bristol and London. And similar to the event before, it's a big, you know, vegan food type, not conference, that sounds so corporate, boring America, but like a festival, you know, you go, you try new things, there's going to be new brands there. It's, you know, hosted by Love Veg Fest. And, you know, they've been around for a while. They really, it sounds like they've had to kind of had to readjust, you know, during the pandemic. And let's be real, who here hasn't readjusted during the pandemic? And they've been around for 21 years, so they can definitely use your support. It looks like they're going to kind of make their events a little bit less massive festival and a little bit more focused on special brands and vendors and just really building a community out of this. So take a look at their website, vegfest.co.uk, see when some upcoming events are. And also, if you have any extra, you know, couple dollars to spend, I'm sure they would really appreciate the donation. Another super cool vegan type festival I've stumbled upon is called Vegandale, and this incorporates food and music and art. And actually, this one is awesome because it spans across the entire United States and also England. So actually, and Canada. So we're talking Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, Los Angeles, Miami, Toronto, Manchester, London. And I don't know, when you go on their website, vegandalefest.com, I feel like I'm watching clips from Coachella. At the same time, it has like, there's boats, there's palm trees, there's people listening to awesome music. It looks like there's rap artists, there's pop artists, though. This is something you definitely don't want to miss. And again, you can absolutely show up by yourself or, you know, take a friend or two and meet new friends. I don't think there's any shortage of like-minded individuals at any one of these events. And at the same time, it really just looks like an awesome time regardless. So maybe you have a friend who's a little interested in being plant-based and I don't know, who knows? I'm just spitballing here, but this event looks really awesome. And they've got TikTok, they've got Instagram, they know who they're targeting here. So something to check out, Vegandale Fest. And two quick things that aren't exactly specific events, but while I was doing my research for this episode, months before I actually sat down and recorded it, I came across two very cool things. One is on wearestarterculture.com. They had a virtual vegan cheese and wine tasting. I don't see it now, but there's always a chance it can come back. And the other thing I stumbled upon is a plant-based vegan chef. Her name is Sunny Gandara, and she hosts, like, you can completely hire her to do like a virtual vegan cheese and wine tasting. You can hire her to do a virtual vegan cooking class. She does corporate events, and she just seems like a lovely person. On her website, it explains a lot about her. She's got this monthly kind of like vegan recipe club where you get discounts to things. She sends recipes and just kind of imagine like a coach on how to, you know, transition your diet to be more plant-based, which again, I don't personally, it's not that I don't care, but you can eat whatever you want. I just do believe that having some chunks of being plant-based is absolutely helpful to your health. And actually, while this was not planned at all, Sunny's website is the perfect transition into the first vegan cheese we're going to talk about. So the first cheese we're talking about is by a brand or slash woman named Wendy, and her company is called Wendy's Vegan Cheese. And the cheese I tried for this episode is called Mount St. Helens, which is called, has the flavor of like smoked salt and mushrooms. And what I think is awesome is that a lot of my podcast is breaking down quote unquote fancy cheese names for not so fancy people. And I think this is a great example because Mount St. Helens, what does that mean? It sounds like somewhere in Washington state, right? But I'll get into the history of the naming of this cheese in just a bit. I actually had the most fantastic conversation with Wendy herself. She is an absolutely lovely person. And similar to a lot of other cheese people I know, she didn't get her start in cheese specifically. I mean, she definitely was in the culinary world. She was cooking at the Tibet House in upstate New York, actually founded by Uma Thurman's parents, which is kind of a fun fact. And similar to many of us, everything is just trial and error, you know? She started making her vegan cheese and, you know, you can't really freeze non-dairy milk. So, you know, things were not going as well, or it was really hard for it to be as sustainable or able to be shipped or whatnot. So she knew she needed to go back kind of into the weeds and keep figuring out what she could do instead. And she ended up with, you know, after hours and hours and days and weeks of research, that cashews were going to be her best bet. And if you're not familiar, soaking cashews overnight is actually a great way to make so many different sauces and pastes and dips and whatnot. So it's no surprise that a lot of our really delicious non-dairy cheeses come from cashews, which also made it freezable for her. So she's got five different bases. There's a goat base, a blue base. She's got a base for her chipper cheddar and also a plain base. And she just started kind of going from there. You know, she had been working in some other vegetarian restaurants, and one of them was making this feta cheese that was supposed to be plant-based, and it was not that good. So she really kind of wanted to start blending up a couple other things, think tofu and lemon. And, you know, hers was, again, not a competition, but hers was definitely much better. And now, in addition to making some fantastic non-dairy cheeses, she also runs her own vegetarian and vegan catering company out in upstate New York, closer to the Catskills area. You can visit her at catskillcatering.com. And like the rest of us who run our own small businesses, every day, you know, you wake up, check your emails, check your Facebook. She starts working on her cheeses. Whatever she's done the day before, she follows her different, you know, processes. She makes her bases the day before because she wants it to be, you know, a little bit harder and easier to work with. And yeah, she usually makes it typically the same types of cheeses that you'll find on her website, which also look outstanding. I mean, we are looking at some blue cheese. I think I mentioned there's a chipper cheddar, which looks delicious and spreadable on some sort of everything bagel. And she also has a spicy cheddar. There's roasted garlic. There's something called Garden of Eden, which has a beautiful rainbow look to it. And like I said, today we are going to be talking about the Mount St. Helen, which I found over at Riverdale in New York City, which is a completely vegan cheese counter, which, so cool, right? And actually, since the time I bought this cheese from there to now, Riverdale has actually sold to Rebel Cheese. So I'm excited to see what happens right now with Riverdale. Right now, it's just kind of a letter on their website saying they're focusing on their online store and shipping. So we'll be curious to see what happens, because right now I am spoiled because Tyler, my husband, works in New York City, and he used to be able to have the Riverdale cheeses couriered over to him like a DoorDash in the middle of the day. So fingers crossed they keep their New York City shop. But again, not here to talk about Riverdale. We are here to talk about Mount St. Helen. So like Wendy describes, Mount St. Helen is definitely mushroomy. It's salty. It's got, you know, nutritional yeast, miso, mustard, onion powder, smoked salt in there. And it's really, really great on like a plain crisp. Again, my thing with, you know, non-dairy vegan cheeses is the texture. This has like a more cream cheese-like texture. So we're thinking like spread it. It goes really well with pears. It's not too salty, but at the same time, you're getting that bit of like the earthiness and the funk from the porcini mushrooms. And it really is just something completely different. You know, I don't like to compare vegan cheese to regular cheese because that's not what we're here to do. We're here to have space for both of these cheeses. And, you know, actually, forget the like plain crisp, even like a baguette, like a warm baguette, spread this on. I would even maybe sprinkle it with a little bit more of like if you have like any black lava salt. I know, totally random. Once there used to be this speakeasy in Manhattan and they had a black lava salt rim, and I've been hooked on that ever since. But this cheese I could see with a little sprinkle of that on there. If you wanted to sweeten it up a little bit, you can add a drizzle of maple syrup just to kind of give it that, you know, sweet and savory yin and yang of cheese that I'm always on the hunt for. We're also kind of getting a little bit of, you know, a smidge of a hazelnut flavor to it, a little bit of a coffee flavor to it. And maybe that's part of the bitterness from the mushrooms, but it's a beautiful cheese. It has vegetable ash, you know, kind of swirled into it. It really just makes a beautiful presentation. We love this cheese with Pinot Noir or some champagne, something to let that carbonation of the champagne kind of like wash all the mouthfeel of the cheese that you have. And yeah, this is really a really fun cheese. It definitely stands alone. It doesn't need anything too much to go with it. If you like earthier, funkier, forward cheeses, I definitely recommend trying this out. Even like a piece of just, you know, sliced toast in the toaster oven or however, and give this a swipe over it. Maybe a drizzle of like a spicy honey could be fantastic here. And the texture isn't too runny. It definitely kind of, you know, sticks in its shape a decent bit, and that might might be, I don't know, because of there's coconut oil in it, which I find is a good emulsifier of things. And also, out of all of Wendy's cheeses, maybe this one is a little bit more adventurous, but we're here to try new things, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. Her favorite cheese of her lineup is a hickory smoked, and she just eats it plain right on a cracker. It's a good little work snack. And fun fact about Wendy, I know I'm kind of bouncing all over the place, but I am reading through my interview notes, and one of her favorite TV shows to work with in the background is Catfish. So I love that. There is nothing wrong with a fantastic episode of Catfish. And similar to a lot of us in the cheese industry, you know, not that we're not ever satisfied, but we love to keep exploring further and seeing what more we can do. And Wendy's newest project is now experimenting with more vegetarian and vegan-friendly blue cultures to really try to perfect the ultimate vegan blue cheese. You guys know me, you know I love blue cheese so much that I'm really excited to see what Wendy has in store. So definitely check out her website, wendysvegancheese.com, catskillcatering.com, and take a look at everything Wendy's got. And if you want to try something new, I can't recommend Wendy's cheese enough. Up next, we have another very delicious, very fun vegan cheese. This one is by Dare, and if you've seen the label, it totally looks like Dare. It looks like Dare so much that on the label itself, they write Dare, pronounced Dare. So we're calling it Dare. This wedge is their pepper jack, and again, this is such a cool cheese. This is one of those cheeses where I made Tyler try it, and he was like, wow, this is actually amazing. This is such a, like, again, I don't love to compare vegan cheese to regular cheese, but if we were going to, this one was probably one of the closer ones I've ever had. Again, I've said it before in other episodes. I absolutely love cheese with peppers in it with a little bit of spice. It's very comforting and nostalgic as I grew up eating so much pepper jack cheese, I can't even begin to tell you. So let's digress and see what the fuss is all about with this pepper jack cheese. Similar to Wendy's cheese, this cheese base contains cashews, coconut oil, some cultures as well, and then they've infused it with jalapeno, roasted red pepper, and some red pepper flakes, which right there, you've already got a match made in spicy heaven. And there's also nutritional yeast in here. So I'm starting to find out that this is probably a great way to get some of that, you know, salty, Parmesan-y flavor into it. And yes, I know the cool kids call it nooch. I don't think I'm that cool, so I'll stick with nutritional yeast. And just another fun fact about Dare, because why not? In addition to all their cheeses and dips that they're making, and again, when I said that like vegan cheese has come so far, it's brands like Wendy's, it's brands like Dare, it's brands like Bandit that are really the reason for the elevation of this. They are just putting out some excellent, excellent food products. But Dare actually, and this is seems new, they're doing cheesecakes and cheesecake slices, and they have strawberry shortcake cheesecake, they have an original cheesecake. Again, you guys know I dabble on all places of the spectrum of the food world, but I will definitely be trying this and letting you guys know how that is. So luckily enough, I had the opportunity to reach out to Dare, and I gotta say, I love when cheesemakers write me back. It really makes such a difference between me just standing on my soapbox telling you what I thought about some cheese and then actually learning something more about the cheesemaker. So again, similarly, Dare was started because the options in the vegan cheese market were, I don't know, I'll say it, abysmal. Remember those like green bags of the Go Veggie shreds? They were absolutely disgusting. But that's kind of all that there was. So again, had the pleasure of having a little bit of an email interview with the founder of Dare. Her name is Gwendolyn Dare Hageman, and she's from Dare County, North Carolina. So if you're not catching on, the name of the cheese is clearly a play on words here, an homage to her location, maybe her middle, or I guess her middle name, maybe her location, et cetera, and so forth. But she basically read every vegan cheese book under the sun. She was, you know, kind of comparing and contrasting different techniques from each author. And again, similar to Wendy's story, it's just really all about trial and error. You know what products you can and can't use. You have to be okay with failing, which honestly, it's one of the scariest things to do, but it makes you stronger. You know, you got to be comfortable with getting uncomfortable. And she found the perfect pair of cultures and, you know, the correct medium to start making the cheese, like her quote unquote curd. And as she, you know, again, it starts with the base. So once you have your base you can work with is really when the skies start to open up and you can infuse with different herbs and spices. You can add different flavors to it And you just kind of keep snowballing until you have your set specific products that are just outstanding. Like I said before, where the name came from, Gwen actually said she believed she was, or I guess she jokes, but I think there's a little bit of belief in here, that she was always destined to found this company, you know, based on the name of the county in North Carolina, her middle name. She was at a West Asheville dive bar with her friend after a long shift in the kitchen, and the first thing he wrote down for the name was dairy. And she wrote, I quote, a pun and an ode to my upbringing, I was sold. A day in the life for Gwen is a day in the life like the rest of us who are just, you know, surviving on a small business. On sunny days, she drives her motorcycle to work, which is fun. She's got a lovely dog who wakes her up in the morning so she can, you know, get to work and respond to countless emails, talk to her team, make sure everyone's on the same page. You know, she's got meetings, she's got projects, the day-to-day business stuff, plan some new releases, you know, have some admin stuff done, which... Oof, when you're in the middle of planning a new project and then you have to remember you have to do your own expenses, there is no soul. It's a little soul crushing. I hate to say it. And if my accountant is listening, I apologize, but I am working through it. But in addition to that, she tends to keep a really entrepreneurial spirit and she's really involved in her community. So when she's not working on dairy products, she's actually helping to mentor and network within her small business community. And since they're located right near Asheville, North Carolina, I once went to a wedding there and it is like small business explosion. There's tons of beer breweries, which it's like popular for. There's tons of small little restaurants and people just constantly coming up with ideas and seeing them to fruition. So having a mentor like Gwen is probably amazing. And a little bit of a more fun fact about dairy vegan cheese. It may come off like a much bigger company or a little bit more commercial just based on their social media and how much effort they put into it, but it's actually really just a small little tight-knit team, and they're all very passionate about shaking up the world of vegan cheese, and it's hot. People want it, so the demand is high. They're meeting their goals and whatnot, so they're really just a happy, cozy little family, and I find, regardless of where the milk or milk, not milk, doesn't come from, some of the best cheese places that like produce the best cheese are these small tight-knit communities. And, you know, it's so fun to see all of these similarities between creameries, vegan creameries or vegan cheese makers or whatever, but they always have the common goal. And it's like a bunch of passionate people who really care about something coming together, working together. And that's why their product just like shines. So let's talk about the Pepper Jack cheese itself. It's very creamy, very, very smooth. It is not too spicy. You can literally just, you know, have it by itself with like a crispy Diet Coke or some sort of ginger ale, which I think is fun. This cheese is also fantastic to add to any kind of like Mexican dish or some Spanish cuisine, just crumble it on top of some tacos or melt it into a quesadilla, or, you know, you can even sprinkle it a little bit in place of like cajia cheese on black beans, and it just gives it a little bit of an extra oomph. It definitely has like that sort of lactic brightness of the cheese. It's really, again, I told you I don't like to compare the textures and stuff, but it really does give way to the texture and flavor of a true full dairy pepper jack cheese. And actually, given how relatively mild this cheese is, if you wanted to take it up a little notch, I would recommend maybe some pepper jelly. I realized I said honey before and I apologize because honey is not vegan. So I take that back. Anyway, this cheese, yeah, it could be great with like a Ritz cracker, which is funny because although they have a very buttery taste, which again, I think really balances out this cheese well, they are in fact vegan. This is like one of those everyday kind of cheeses you just always want to have in your fridge. You never know when the need will arise. And Gwen also mentioned that she loves the pepper jack. You know, she always has the roasted garlic in her cheese drawer because she finds it to be the most versatile and she'll add it to different, you know, sauces or spinach or whatnot. But I feel like you could absolutely use the pepper jack in the same kind of situation too. Or even, you know, if you're having like a just egg sandwich with an English muffin and you like spread this on it. Oh, actually, it's 11:23 a.m. where I am right now, but I may need to go have this breakfast sandwich for lunch. Again, I was lucky enough to find this cheese at Riverdale and have it sent over to Tyler. But you could, I think I've seen like this cheese in other specialty gourmet grocery shops, which is where I feel like I spend a lot of my time. But you don't have to worry about, you know, playing hunt and peck for this cheese, because on their website, dairyvegancheese.com, they actually have an interactive map with a little point of like everywhere they're sold, and there are a ton of options across the country. You can also order online from them. And who knows, fingers crossed that this obviously went pretty well, but maybe I will start carrying them as well because I am getting some demand for vegan cheese and vegan cheese events. And like I said, being able to try and taste these, you know, truly spectacular non-dairy cheeses has been a game changer, especially when you're looking for something good and maybe you have some tummy troubles. Who knows? There's a gamut of reasons why people want non-dairy cheese, and to be able to explore them and explain them to you guys and open your minds a little bit more is really just another fun benefit of this podcast. So I encourage you all to step out of the box, give it a try if you are a little bit vegan curious, and let me know what you think. Also, if there are other plant-based cheeses that I should be trying, please let me know. I would love to keep this as like a regular thing because there really aren't that many resources out there for this. So, let me know. We'd love to hear from you. So that's it for now. Stay cheesy, my friends. But the fun doesn't end here, my lactose-loving friends. Whether you're a cheese connoisseur or just waking up to the cheesy world that exists beyond pre-cut Cracker Barrel, there is always more to discover and more to savor. So be sure to check out my Instagram for more dairy delights at The Bee's Cheese. That's the B as in me, Brittany, S as in Swiss, and cheese. And of course, if there's a cheese that I need to try, go ahead and slide right into my DMs, because curd is always the word. Bye for now.